One of them, it's translated as Datuha. It's translated as the Galinul. Does anyone know what that bird is? I never heard of that. I never read the word for word commentary, or at least I didn't notice this. Do you have in your any local language any bird called a Datuha? Well, that's one for some research. It's one of the 84-like species. A Datuha, which is called in English a Galinul, which I never heard of before. Translation. When the king of bees hums in a high pitch, singing the glories of the Lord, there is a temporary lull in the noise of the pigeon, the cuckoo, the crane, the chakravaka, the swan, the parrot, the partridge, and the peacock. Such transcendental birds stop their own singing simply to hear the glories of the Lord. What is chakravaka? You know what that? Anyone know what that is?
It's a bird.
It's a bird, yeah, but it's bird. That much I understood. Any idea what kind of bird? Anyone know? That's, you're asking me, I don't know. It sounds like a guess. Purport, this verse reveals the absolute nature of Vaikuntha. There is no difference between the birds there and the human residents. The situation in the spiritual sky is that everything is spiritual and variegated. Spiritual variegatedness means that everything is animate. There is nothing inanimate. Even the trees, the ground, the plants, the flowers, the birds, and the beasts are all on the level of Krishna consciousness. The special feature of Vaikuntha Loka is that there is no question of sense gratification. In the material world, even an ass enjoys his sound vibration. But in the Vaikunthas, such nice birds as the peacock, the chakravaka, and the cuckoo prefer to hear the vibration of the glories of the Lord from the bees. The principles of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, are very prominent in the Vaikuntha world. Om Gyanati Vamhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Shri Chaitanya Anobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Harakamalam Shri Guru Navaishtavascha Shri Rupam Sagujatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhananda He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwar Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya. Mancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Diva Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavade Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare. This is a description of the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha. in this purport, Srila Prabhupada points out the intrinsic difference between the material world and the spiritual world. In the material world, there are all the features of the spiritual world. There are also in the material world birds, lakes, cities, families, as there are or families or men and women, companions. There are also in the spiritual world, but in the material world, the net result is misery, and in the spiritual world, everything is bliss. What's the difference? Why is it that in the spiritual world, swans plus ducks plus cities plus lakes plus parks plus men and women living together equals bliss, and in the material world it equals misery? Prabhupada points out here that in the material world, giving an example, Prabhupada says, even an ass enjoys his sound vibration. Everyone is thinking, me, me, me and mine. In the material world, we are so much attached to everything connected with what we consider to be ourselves that every man likes the smell of his own fart. Fart, do you know what that means? It means gas passed out your backside. Everyone, oh, it's very nice, very good smell. Yeah. This is the material world. And in the spiritual world, everyone is simply interested in glorifying Krishna. Here the term is given Hari Katha, discussion of Hari, Bhagavan Hari. So in the spiritual world, it's not only that those in human forms are glorifying Hari, but every creature is glorifying Bhagavan Hari. In the spiritual world, the birds, they make various sounds. The animals make different sounds. The bees, they're humming. But it's all kirtan. Whereas in the material world, all the sounds that everyone makes are meant for ahara nidra bhaya maitum, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And especially for mating. The sounds, not only the sounds, but everything everyone does is centered around personal sense gratification, of which the apex is considered to be sexual gratification. So that's the difference. And that difference in the material world, that manifests as birth, death, old age and disease. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending, the result of that is birth, death, old age and disease. Of course, there can also be eating, sleeping, mating and defending in Krishna's service, but generally, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, these are the principles of material life in which everyone wants to be happy by improving their eating, sleeping, mating and defending, getting improved conditions for eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So this is material life, and everyone wants to promote themselves. Everyone likes the mirror. This is for materialistic people. The mirror is something which they love. Not in India so much, but in the West, in the public latrines or a hotel toilet, there's always mirror, and you'll find that people come in and even though their hair is, it's okay, but they pull out their comb and they start combing it. Just, they stand there for 5 minutes. I don't know, you're supposed to, I don't know what they're doing. And I heard that women, they spend even, they may spend hours combing their hair. It's the same, but it's just an excuse to, for themselves to sit in front of the mirror and think, I look so beautiful, oh, it's so wonderful. And patting their hair like this. Everyone is fully entranced by themselves. I look so good, and my fart smells so good, and everything about me is so wonderful. This is called Maya. And in the spiritual world, everyone is simply entranced by Krishna. Everyone is thinking, oh, how wonderful is Krishna. Because they're not conscious of, they're not promoting their own self. Therefore, they take pleasure in others glorifying Krishna. That's a great quality, to take pleasure in others glorifying Krishna. That verse that smaranti nandanti tavehitam janahata eva pashanti chirena tavaka bhava prabaho paramang padambu. What's the first line of that? Shrinvanti gayanti vinanta bhikshnasa smaranti nandanti tavehitam janahata eva pashanti chirena tavakam bhava prabaho paramang padambu jam. It's very beautiful prayer. Very beautiful, no? Even if just hearing the Sanskrit. Let's say it again a little slower, just to hear it. This is Harikatha, this is Kirtan. Shrinvanti gayanti grinanti bhikshnasha smaranti nandanti tavehitanjanaha ta eva pashantya chirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramang padambujam. So this Kunti Devi is saying that, O Krishna, those who hear about and glorify you, or who take pleasure in others doing so, shall certainly see you, and by seeing you, they will no longer have to see repeated birth and death. So, this point, who take pleasure in others glorifying Krishna, we see here that this is the point here. In the spiritual world, others, everyone is taking pleasure in everyone else's service and everyone else's glorification of Krishna. Whereas in the material world, everyone wants to promote themselves. And if someone else does something good, they become envious. But in the spiritual world, everyone is serving Krishna to the best of their ability, and they appreciate others also serving Krishna. We have the famous incident of the building the bridge to Lanka, and the monkeys coming and with big rocks throwing them in, and the squirrel pushing some sand. But Ramchandra Bhagavan appreciated. It's both are as good because the sincerity is the same. You may say, well, what is the use of pushing a little sand? The squirrel pushing a little sand can push for maybe 1 year, and then one monkey will bring one boulder, which is more than the squirrel can put in 1 year. But Lord Ram sees, oh, someone is eager to serve. For that matter, what can anyone do to serve Krishna? Krishna says, patrang pushpang palang toyam yome bhaktya prayachiti tadaham bhakti paharitam ashnami prayatatmanam. If one offers me with leaf, flower, fruit, or water, with bhakti, I accept that. And these words, patram, not patrani, not in plural, it's in singular form. One leaf, one flower, one fruit, little water, Krishna will accept if it's offered with love. As Krishna doesn't, you may think, well, I'll go to the shop and purchase hundreds of flowers. I go from the bazaar. That's nice also, but Krishna It's not the quantity so much as the quality. Of course, if we have quality of bhakti, if we actually want to please Krishna, then we'll want to offer everything to Krishna. Not that we will build a big house for ourselves and a tiny little temple. But rather, at least previously we see in India, it appears that people used to build big temples for Krishna and not such nice houses for themselves, because the big temples are still standing. We don't see many houses 1,000 years old. But the temples, there are so many temples 1,000 years old. That means that people, they made the place for the worship of the Lord better than the place for their own living for sense gratification. That is Vaikuntha consciousness that is being described here. And materialistic consciousness means build a nice place for myself and forget about Krishna. Or even to build a nice place for myself and a little something for Krishna on the side. That means there's not Krishna consciousness. That means we want to make, it's like making a little quarters for the servants. Engage Krishna as my servant. He should, I'll keep him there, and his job is to sit there and give me blessings and ward off bad influences. Just like here in South India, they usually put on the outside of some house some ferocious looking face. Isn't that, what's that actually? That's supposed to ward off bad. But what is that face actually?
Avoiding.
I know what it's for. It's for driving out bad influences. But what is the face? Is the face of who? Anyone in particular? You don't know. Alright. So the idea is there that we'll call someone to do something for me. Just like they do some special puja, and do some special puja, and then they have you call the devata. And then you do the puja and for some result, that I should have a child, or my child should be cured from the illness, or something. And then you send the devata, okay, oh, thank you very much, and go away. Visarjanam, send away, or throw in the river. You can go for a swim. And throw the, so the, this is not Krishna consciousness. Actually, Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated one feature of the Madhva Sampradaya, that the acceptance of the deity as eternal, not that you just call the deity and then while you're worshipping you're thinking about, then you put away and now it's a piece of stone. In some sampradayas, like the one next door, they have that idea that as long as you're worshipping, then God is there, and then when you stop worshipping, then He's not there. So this consciousness, Krishna consciousness, that Krishna is not our paid gardener. Or you're called, hey, go to the shop and buy something for me. Krishna is not your paid servant. That you call him and do this, do that, and then you send away and make him some quarters to live in. Like they have, now they're doing in this just like HP here in Bangalore, they have quarters for their staff. So we'll look after you very nicely, but the idea, you have to serve Mr. HP, whoever he is, somewhere. The boss of HP, you don't even know his name, you're working, look at this, modern life, you're working for someone, you don't even know who is. You're working for HP, right? Who's the boss? Who's the boss of the company?
He's in US.
What's his name?
Mark Hurd.
Okay, so you, at least you know who you're working for. You know his name. You know his name anyway. So we may say, well, we'll build a nice temple for Krishna. And then he's on call 24 hours a day. Like in the HP place, they give you nice quarters, but then any time they can call you. Middle of the night, come, work to do. And what can you say? They're providing everything, so... He may think, I made this temple, so Krishna's, whenever I need him, he's there. So, this consciousness that Krishna is, I am here to enjoy myself, my material life, and Krishna, he's my accomplice in my crime of enjoying this material world. But rather in the spiritual world, everything is centered on Krishna and all living beings. It's not that the human being is very intelligent and the animals are less intelligent, but the animal forms, they're also liberated jivas who are engaged in glorifying Krishna. Their only topic is Harikatha, glorifying the Lord. This is the spiritual world. So this is the way to make the material world into the spiritual world, to glorify Krishna and appreciate others doing so. And then it's no longer the material world, then it's the spiritual world, a place where there's no envy. This, in the beginning of Bhagavatam, we find dharma projita kaitava atra paramo nirmat saranam satam. In this Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, cheating religion is kicked out. This Bhagavatam is meant for Paramahamsas, person Prabhupada translates as those who are completely free from envy. No envy, no bad feeling. They simply want to glorify Krishna and they don't have bad feelings towards others. Of course, pure devotees, they have strong feelings and they may have what appears to be some bad feelings, just like they may be very strong against, they should be. The one who's actually a pure devotee, he's not neutral when it comes to people, for instance, pretending to be God, as there are so many in India today, or cheating others in the name of religion. He's not neutral. He comes out very strongly against this. There's the impersonalistic idea, or the Prakriti Sahajya idea, that a devotee, they should just be nice and just smile very nicely and be nice and hold a flower and give blessings and like that. Just be very nice. So a devotee is certainly very nice, but he manifests, as required, he manifests his niceness that he may or should, if someone is acting in a manner that is grossly envious of Krishna, pretending to be Krishna, or misleading others in the name of religion, then he's not tolerant towards that. He doesn't say, that's very nice. Everything is very nice. Everything everyone does is very nice. This is the false tolerance. This is, you don't say anything about me, hum bhi chup, tu bhi chup. We're all criminals, so you don't say anything, I won't say anything, and we're all nice, and this is spiritual. This is not spiritual. This is material. That you don't want to be criticized for your faults, so you don't criticize others, and you say, everything is very nice. Everything is very wonderful. Just tolerate everything. But no, there's a proper standard. What is the proper standard? Proper standard is everyone should act, the full standard is that everyone should glorify Krishna. But in this material world, we're not practiced like that. So there are rules and regulations for living in this material world to help us come to that point of glorifying Krishna. There are so many rules and regulations. Vidhi nished. This should be done, that should not be done. So one should know. It's not that, well, everything everyone does is very nice and more. This idea that we should just see everything is very nice, but rather in the material world, pretty much everything everyone does is not nice at all. Because what everyone does is simply an expression of their envy of Krishna. So the Uttam Adhikari, he sees everyone is serving Krishna. Bhagavat Bhavamatmanaha. He sees it. But the Madhyam Adhikari, the preacher, who's helping to elevate others, he makes distinctions. He doesn't say, well, everything's nice, everything everyone does is nice. He doesn't say. He sees difference. Ishvare tad adhineshu balisheshu vishatsucha prema maitri kripo peksha yakaroti samadhyama. He sees the Supreme Lord. He offers his love. He sees the devotees who are fully subordinate and dependent on the Lord. He makes friendship with them. He sees means he makes distinction between the devotees, the innocent public who he tries to uplift by preaching to them, and the persons who are simply envious. And he gives his mercy to them by avoiding them. So it's relatively easy to pretend to be on the uttamadhikari level. Oh yeah, everything does is very wonderful. But it's rather a kind of laziness or lack of surrender to Krishna that we don't want to see what is the difference. We think, oh, it's too much trouble. Why should I get involved? And then they'll argue, and then they'll point out my faults and call me bad names. It's not that everyone's on that very, very high level. And actually, generally, the uttamadhikaris in this world, who are in this world, who are very rare anyway, they act on the madhyamadhikari platform. Otherwise, what are they doing? They don't have any business in this world. They can just go to the spiritual world. But while they're here, they act as preachers, madhyamadhikari. So they point out, just like you'll see, Prabhupada. Who's listening to Prabhupada's lectures and conversations? Anyone's listening to that? It's time to time you listen. So you'll hear Prabhupada is all the time, especially in his conversations, he's lambasting the position of the materialists, isn't it? He's always, these scientists, they're all nonsense, they're cheaters. Many conversations talking about how the scientists are cheating everyone. And always pointing out how there's so much cheating in this world, how they're avoiding Krishna, how they're envious. We'll find in Prabhupada's vocabulary words like nonsense, demon, rascal, animal, cats and dogs. These are common words, and people say, oh, this isn't very spiritual. People who themselves are not very spiritual, they want to judge Prabhupada as being not very spiritual, because they don't know what it means to be spiritual. They think that spiritual means you just give blessings to people to enjoy their material life. But Prabhupada, by speaking like this, is giving them the blessings by which they can never enjoy material life. That's the actual blessing. That is blessing. But people don't, because they're cheating themselves, therefore they prefer all these cheats. They like to be cheated. If someone comes and tells what is the actual fact, that, my dear sir, you are a complete nonsense, fool and rascal, and you should simply surrender to Krishna. They become very angry. Oh, what are you? I'm respectable. I'm a doctor. I'm a well-respected member of society. That's true, sir, but in your next life you're going to be a cockroach unless you chant Hare Krishna and surrender to... Oh, you can't talk like that. Get out of here. But if you come and say, yes, yes, you're very wonderful, you're so wonderful. Yes, yes. This is a good sadhu. All right, give him 50 rupees. Give him a donation. So people don't like to hear. They think a sadhu means we go and flatter the sadhu and he flatters us back. And we see this in our Vaishnava society. Oh, you're a great devotee. No, no, you're a great devotee. No, no, you're a great devotee. No, you're a great devotee. It goes on and on like this. But of course, it's good to appreciate devotees, but that should be on the... Devotee should be guru, not laghu. Means heavy, grave, not light. Everything is okay, everything is one. No, the only thing that's okay is Hari Katha. If we're glorifying Krishna, then we're properly situated. Then we're preparing ourselves to enter the spiritual world. Or practically one who is engaged fully in Hari Katha, they're already in the spiritual world. But who can perform Hari Katha? Anyone can do. Anyone who has two lips, they can do. But not everyone will do. Because actually one cannot perform Hari Katha or Hari Kirtan unless one has the pre-qualification, there's some qualification. What is that qualification? To kirtan. Who can perform kirtan all the time? One who considers himself lower than a straw in the street, who is more tolerant than a tree, who doesn't want to be honored but is prepared to honor others. Such a person can glorify Krishna. Others can't. Because everyone is trying to establish themselves. I am greater than others. Others should honor me. So if we have this consciousness, then we cannot glorify Krishna, actually. Because we're always thinking how others should glorify me and how I should act in a way that others will glorify me. So we can actually perform kirtan if we're in this consciousness of wanting to glorify Krishna. Now, how does this all fit together, that one should always, manadena, one should be ready to give all respect to others, but at the same time we're talking about Prabhupada and followers of Prabhupada also, they should see that what is actual bhakti and what is everything else, what is nonsense, what is animalism. Prabhupada wanted a book written called Intellectual Animalism. How the intellectuals, by their highfalutin so-called philosophies, they're simply promoting animalism. So how is it that one should be ready to give all respect to others? We say that, and at the same time, then condemning materialistic life. Yeah, we should be ready to respect, just like the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, that we... To give respect to devotees for glorifying Krishna, that is good. It is not at all good to give respect to non-devotees for blaspheming Krishna, or forgetting Krishna, or trying to promote themselves. That is not kirtan. That is inimical to kirtan. That is anti-bhakti. So giving respect to others doesn't mean that shravidvara hoshchakarai sangstuta purusha pashuhu. That doesn't mean that we become a hog, dog, camel, and ass, and praise others, hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, for being hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. A discrimination must be there. If we don't know what is the difference between Krishna consciousness and Maya, and we try to make it all one, that opening hospitals and schools and free food to the children so they can become better citizens of India and promote the Indian nation. This is not kirtan. This is on the material platform. It may seem, we may say, if we don't know, if we're not shastravit, or if we're not shastra chakshu, if we don't see through the eye of shastra, we may mix it all up. Chit jara samanyava, all mixing up what is mundane and what is spiritual. But it doesn't work. This is the Mayavadi, jato mat tatopad. Everything is all one, all the same. We don't find in the spiritual world that they're praising anything but service to Krishna. Krishna and service to Krishna. There's no entrance there for anything but the attitude of service to Krishna. Otherwise, that's actual harmony in the spiritual world. In the material world, they're trying to promote harmony by saying, everything is nice, everything is all wonderful. But the result is disharmony. Now, in the modern age, they promoted this idea that, you just let everyone do as what they like as long as it's not harmful to others. There's this idea there. But they don't know what is harmful to others. They say, it doesn't matter if you kill the baby in the womb because it doesn't harm anyone, but it harms the baby in the womb. But they think it's just a piece of flesh. So they're promoting sinful activities. And it doesn't matter if you kill the animals in the slaughterhouses, kill them humanely. Means we'll kill them in a way that doesn't hurt them too much. So what's the harm? Because they're just animals. But the karmic backlash is there. They don't know. So they're trying to make heaven on earth without Krishna. It's not possible. So in the name of being tolerant and letting everything's okay, and they've allowed so many sinful activities, and we can see the karmic reactions beginning to catch up with them. There are so many natural disturbances and terrorism, accidents, again and again and again. It's almost 1 year since the famous tsunami, which probably most people have forgotten about altogether now, because they're busy back to sense, back to life as usual. Probably even the tsunami victims, they're back to sense gratification. They're not going to spend their whole life lamenting for the tsunami. It's get on with the real business of life, which is enjoying. So adjust, and we'll go on with life. So the people are saying, "Oh, tsunami! How terrible! Where was God? Why does this happen?" I was replying, "Well, why do you think it shouldn't happen? That's the amazing thing. It didn't happen previously, or there wasn't worse, because people are performing so many sinful activities." Saying, "Oh, the poor fishermen, they got washed out to sea. They're killing fish day after day after day. And there should be no reaction. They want God, they'll build a little temple. Pray to God for the tsunami victims." Yeah, but there'll be more victims. Everyone's a victim of our own sinful life. Well, we should go and build houses for the tsunami victims. Someone came and told me that. "Why don't you build houses for the tsunami?" Because, "Oh, we don't do that." "Well, you're distributing free food to the poor children in Bangalore, so why don't you build? What's the difference? You're making eye camps, so what's the difference?" But we'll give Bhagavad Gita as it is to the tsunami victims, so that they can understand that you have to change your life. No one, all is big publicity all over the world, but none of the big leaders, even the religious leaders, they said prayers for the tsunami victims and lit candles, which is completely useless. It doesn't help them in the slightest, lighting a candle for the tsunami victim. But no one thought to educate the people how to stop your sinful activities. None of the religious leaders thought, because they themselves are engaged in sinful activities. This Pope who just died, they were saying, "Oh, he's a great saint, wonderful Pope. His favorite food was veal," which means, veal means you take the calf after it's just born and you keep it in a cage for 2 weeks so it can't move, and then you kill it. And that soft meat, that's called veal. And that was the great saintly Pope's favorite food. And they call it, and this they call saintly. And this Dalai Lama, he's considered in the West a great figure, what's the word? Figurehead, or I can't remember the word now. He's like an icon for peace. People say, "Oh, he got the Nobel Peace Prize," but he's eating meat every day, and he's supposed to be a religious leader and a Buddhist at that. The Buddha, "Nindasi yagya vidheraha shuti jatam sadaya hridaya darshita pashu ghata keshava dhrita buddha sharira jai jagadishahre." The Buddha came to stop the unnecessary killing in the name of the Vedas, being merciful on the animals. He preached ahimsa parama dharma. And the Buddhist leader is eating meat every day. And I was in Thailand, which is a staunchly Buddhist country, where pretty much everyone's a meat eater. So I was asking, "How can you eat meat? And you're supposed to be Buddhist." "Well, we never kill animals. We don't. There are a few Muslims, and they're the butcher class in Thailand. So you pay them. You go to the shop and purchase the meat." "So we'll never kill an animal. I'm a Buddhist. I won't kill any animal." But then you're eating. You're supporting the killer. According to Manu Maharaj, he who pays for the meat, who serves it, who cooks it, who approves of it, not only the killer, they're all equally implicated. So they're trying to cheat that you won't get implicated. No, we won't kill. We don't believe in killing animals. But if it's already dead, then what's the harm in eating it? We should. And they go, the Buddhist monks come around and they put fish and meat in their bowls to eat. They give them food. And the idea is they're supposed to be monks and they're supposed to be like neutral to everything. So if people give meat, well, they should also eat that. They shouldn't be against it. Then someone should put stool in the bowl. You'll eat that also. That they don't consider. So cheating religion. What is going on in the world? All cheating. Priti vite, jato katha, dharma nama chale, bhagavata kahi taha, pari purna chale. Whatever is going on in the world in the name of religion, Bhagavatam says it's simply cheating, but you can't cheat Krishna. So Vaikuntha Katha, talk of Krishna. That should be there, simply for Krishna's pleasure. Even we can perform Hari Katha, even that, superficially performing Kirtan, that can also be mixed up with our own desires for sense gratification. In fact, most of the public so-called Bhagavad Katha that goes on in India, it's all for sense gratification. Its primary purpose is not for glorification of Krishna. Is the famous speaker comes and speaks in a very nice way and people like it and they serve, they have free chai seva and it's wonderful and everyone goes away and, how nice, yeah, that was great, and oh, quick, let's rush home because there's a good movie on TV after the kata is 6 to 8 and then shall we go? Yeah, I think we'll just have time to get home in time for the... There's a great program on TV. Okay, all right, let's go to the Bhagavad Gita, then we'll come back and watch the TV. No motive for self-improvement. Or even they're going to the temple every day, but simply they're... For sense gratification, the Lord will bless us so that we can enjoy in this life and the next life. Because they never heard Hari Katha from an actual sadhu who speaks Bhagavat, not just 10th canto, not just nice story. Bhagavat Katha, all the topics. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yarindriya pritiya apinoti na sadhu manye yata atmanoyam asan api klesha da asadeha. Who is speaking this? Who is, no, actually it's Rishabdev. But I'm asking the rhetorical question. That who, out of the Bhagavad Katakas, those who are speaking, will they ever speak this? That certainly persons who perform sinful activities are insane because simply for the sake of sense gratification, they're performing activities that will cause them to be born again and again and suffer again and again. Who is preaching this? They won't preach. Just, we'll speak some nice things and sing some nice songs and people will come and they're all very nice and they'll go away and everyone will be happy on the mundane platform. And no one will ever advance. They'll never become Krishna conscious because they don't know the principle. The principle is saṃsiddhe haritoshanam. Everything should be done for his pleasure. But the conditioned soul, his disease is so acute that even when it comes to Harikatha, he'll take that and turn that into his own sense gratification also. So it's not actually Kirtan. It becomes something he wants to use for his own sake. So this Harikatha, that can be vibrated by, and that can be appreciated by, as Prabhupada says, purified men who are thoroughly honest. Prabhupada translates this. Shrinvanti gayanti grinanti bhikshnasha, the purified men who are thoroughly honest will appreciate actual glorification of Lord Hari, even if it's not grammatically perfect or there's some apparent fault in the delivery. Some fault means here that if it's just like that, it may not be so beautifully presented or It may, the speaker may not be a great scholar, but if his motive is to glorify Krishna, then that is kirtan. Tadvag visargo janataka viplavo yasmin pati shlokam abadhavatyapi. Even if the shloka, it's not even properly composed according to all the grammatical rules. But namamyanantasya yashon kitani yachin vanti gayanti vinanti abhikshnasha. But if the motive is to glorify Bhagawan, Hari, then purified men who are thoroughly honest, they accept that. Yes. This is kirtan. And simply some musical skills or someone telling some nice stories to entertain the public, this is not kirtan, unless the motive is to satisfy Krishna. Of course, it's nice to perform music in a tasteful manner for Krishna, but that's the point, it should be for Krishna. Not that we shall enjoy. They have performances. People will go to listen, they'll pay money to go to listen to some musical performance. But the musical performance should be for the glorification of Krishna, not for the satisfaction of the ears of the public. Let them come and hear, and they can enjoy. How the public should enjoy, they shall just like here in Vaikuntha, they shall enjoy how others are so nicely glorifying Lord Hari. Not the same sound, instead of thinking, oh, that sounds very nice, I really enjoy it. But instead, the same music can be enjoyed, but in a different way. Thinking that, oh, how nicely they're glorifying Lord Hari. You see the difference? It's just that difference. That we don't think how I shall directly enjoy it, but we shall enjoy how it is being performed very nicely for the pleasure of Krishna. So that is Vaikuntha consciousness. And material consciousness means we try to directly enjoy. Whereas here in Vaikuntha we see all the birds, they stop their chirping to listen to the bee who is so nicely glorifying Krishna. Oh, so wonderfully glorified. That is Vaikuntha consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Is it true that non-devotees, if they hear kirtan, that will purify them? Yeah, that will help to purify them.
So even though they initially think that it is sense gratification,
they may think, what is that? Stobha, hela, what are the four? There are four kinds. Stobha, hela, parihas, and sanket. Yeah, this sanket and parihasyam.
If you any time of pronoun come in the Krishna, then he can get the five.
Yeah.
So death, not in.
So if it's said as a kind of joke, he says, look at them, Hare Krishna. Or sanket to indicate something else. Just like in the West, they sometimes call the cinema house Cinerama. Or you may say Raja Mata. So Raja Ma. So you have Ra Ma. The two syllables, Ra is followed by Ma. So you have Ra Ma. Now they're not there thinking, they're saying Raja Mata. But the name Rama is there. Or neglectfully, one may say, where are you going to? I'm going to Krishna Rajapuram. So you're not thinking of Krishna, but you're saying Krishna Rajapuram. You're just thinking, so. So in this way, yes, purification is there. That doesn't mean that you're going to get love of Krishna. One will never get love of Krishna by saying. But if one, without a motive, without enviousness, he says, then some purification will be there. Yeah. But the path of full purification begins when one hears the holy names from pure devotees with submission. That's when the real purification begins. It's always beneficial to hear the holy names. But the path of attaining love of Krishna means that we have to become purified from all material desires. That depends on our attitude, our motivation. So that our attitude and our motivation will become purified by regularly hearing from and associating with devotees whose attitude and motivation is only to serve Krishna. Otherwise we can go on chanting, but bahujanma kare jadi shravan kirtan tabo tana pai Krishna pade premdam. We may go on chanting for many lifetimes, but if we don't get the point that we're supposed to be doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna, then it'll simply be lifetime after lifetime and the chanting, but that it won't be chanting, it won't be kirtan in the sense that it's meant for Krishna kirti. It's meant for glorification of Krishna. There'll be something else there. Something else means anya bilash, other desires than those to serve Krishna. Then what else?
Maharaj, you said like associating with devotees and hearing from them.
Yeah, associating with devotees means devotees who are fixed in these principles. Anya bilashita shunyam jnanakam adhyanavritam anukulyena Krishna anushilanam bhaktirutama. Otherwise, if we associate with neophytes or mixed devotees, then they'll go on associating with each other, bahujanma kare jadi shravan kirtan, for life after life, but they won't go up. To go up, we have to associate with those who are up.
Does it, we see in material, the tendency is always like, we get something high, suddenly we have very much reverence and respect that after a few years passes away, even if something high, like just like holy name, before we are doing.
Do we have a cordless mic here? Another mic? Because those at the back are not hearing what's being said. So you're talking about after, in the material world, we get something better, and in the beginning we appreciate, but after some time we lose the appreciation. Can that happen in spiritual life? No, it can't happen in spiritual life, but if we're in material consciousness, which is not actual spiritual life, then it can happen. Rather, in spiritual life, our appreciation is always increasing, if we're actually in spiritual life. But it often happens that we approach spiritual life with material consciousness, and in the beginning we're very serious, and it becomes less. We become less serious. So that means our whole approach is actually not spiritual, it's material. We glorify other service, that doesn't mean we stop doing our own service. Should I think I'm doing nice service? No, you don't think I'm doing nice service. Well, bahujanma kare jadi shravan kirtan. It's difficult to get rid of, no doubt. This Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, and actually so many, they say that, well, he specifically says that even for one who's given up gross sense gratification, It's very difficult to give up the desire for pratishtha, the desire to be glorified by others. Very difficult. It's possible by the grace of the Lord and His devotees. So what is that, sir? Let us find Krishna.
Satisfying
Krishna.
Krishna is Atma Rama, self-satisfied.
Krishna is self-satisfied, yeah, but he's... How much can we satisfy him? Well, he's Atma Rama, but he's also, even though he's complete, but he's Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, the ever-increasing ocean of transcendental bliss. Our satisfying Krishna doesn't mean that he's lacking anything. He's full in himself. But because he's unlimited, he has unlimited capacity to unlimitedly reciprocate with unlimited number of servitors. So, if we attempt to satisfy him, he'll reciprocate. Krishna's not a stone, or Krishna's not just a philosophical principle. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he'll reciprocate with us. That's stated at the beginning of the Rasa-lila section, that he's Atma-rama, Apta-kama. Even though all his desires are fulfilled, still he desired to dance with the gopis. Did we ever get the mic together? Can you speak loudly so that people at the back can hear? You see at the back there, there's Rama Gaur. Speak to him, don't speak to me. I'll hear you automatically. Speak to him.
Maharaj, you are mentioning that for association, in the association we require the association of the devotees who are up and the association of those devotees who are mixed in their motive and those who have material desires within them will not help us purify.
That won't help us to go up. It might help us to remain at some platform. It's not that we should, these are all mixed devotees and they're all useless and I won't associate with them.
So my question was...
But actually we should associate with pure devotees means that when we say pure devotees, that of course we should try to find the association of those who are Vaikuntha, in Vaikuntha consciousness. But those... We should especially seek the association of those devotees who are sincerely endeavoring to become completely purified. That association will help us. Even though they may not be fully purified, but just the sincere endeavor to come to that platform, that in itself is purifying. But if we associate with persons who are they're trying to get some material benefit from devotional service, that won't help us advance.
How we should approach the association of those devotees means amongst ourselves only. Those themselves are struggling to become purified.
Then we'll all struggle together and help each other. If we're struggling to become purified, that struggle is glorious. And we can help, we have to help each other. Then, anything else? Yeah, pass the... Yeah, we have a long line here. We'll pass it by.
Manoj, how can chanting be done for pleasure of Krishna?
With this attitude, that I am your servant, I I'm your servant. Now please establish me in your service. That is for the pleasure of Krishna. The jiva's constitutional position is to serve Krishna, and Krishna's constitutional position is to be served by everyone else. So he's satisfied when we pray that please engage me in your service. It's not a difficult thing. But we make it difficult by our stubborn unwillingness to surrender to Krishna. But we should go on hearing and chanting, and that will purify. If we have this motive that I must do everything for the pleasure of Krishna, read Prabhupada's books regularly. That idea we'll get if we read Prabhupada's books regularly. Then we'll, from Prabhupada, we'll get again and again and again, every line, every word, every drop of ink is simply again and again telling surrender to Krishna, surrender to Krishna, surrender to Krishna. So that will help us. You say chanting has to be accompanied by hearing. That will purify. Yeah, anything else? All right, pass the mic.
Maharaj, can you explain why each process of each of the nine process of devotion service, why it pleases Krishna? Like, if we chant, why it pleases Krishna? If we hear,
why does it please Krishna? Well, Krishna is a person, and he likes to hear his own name. Swanama Priya. He's the Supreme Person and His name is very sweet. So, in purified consciousness, we like to hear Krishna's name, and Krishna is always in purified consciousness and He also likes to hear His name. So the name of Krishna is by nature very sweet and Krishna likes to hear it. So by chanting His name, we please Krishna. You want to do a psychological analysis of Krishna? He likes nice food offered with love. He likes his mother caressing him. He likes her chastising him. He's a person. Krishna's not a stone. Krishna's not a doll. He's not simply a philosophical principle to be discussed. He's a person. We may spend all day talking about what is the philosophy of the Absolute Truth and discussing this, that and the other. The deity is this, you have to feed him. Not that you'll simply discuss.
Maharaj, about chanting, Maharaj, recently don't have taste for chanting or rati for chanting.
Our own pleasure, yeah, but it's the same point. Our pleasure comes from seeing Krishna satisfied. Devotee's pleasure comes from seeing Krishna satisfied. I gave that example that you can enjoy the music directly, or you can appreciate that they're playing so nicely for Krishna. So both ways you enjoy, but one way is contaminating and the other way is purifying. So we enjoy as secondary enjoyers. As long as we have the motive, I shall enjoy, then we cannot actually enjoy because we're trying to usurp Krishna's position. Okay, pass the mic way up here again.
Maharaj, when we hear in our actions, most of the time, all of the time, we find a big difference between what is expected of us and what is the current scenario. So
yes, that should be there. Because if you just tell that what you're doing is okay, then how are we ever going to come up? It should be on a higher level than we're at. Then we have something to aim at. If we just say that, well, whatever you're doing is okay, then what do you need a lecture for?
That I appreciate. I wanted to ask, like, how would you see this difference within our life, which leads to...
You go on with the process of hearing and chanting. Yes. Hearing, the whole process of bhakti yoga is purifying. So we may say high level, yes, but we have the means to go there also. It's not just pie in the sky. We have the means to go. Alright, we're down in the gutter, and here is the level we're to aim for. So that, yes, we should be aiming for. And how? Shravan, kirtan, how do we perform this? We should have faith, just like Prabhupada writes in the songbook. Do not think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. So we should have faith in that. Even you see, there are so many benedictions from our acharyas. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, about chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, said, Iha hoite sarva siddhi hoive shava. Everyone will attain the fullest success, or complete success, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. It's there, success is there, and you just have to go on with the process. As Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that those who chant loudly the Gur Vashtaka during the Brahma Muhurta, they will attain service of Vrindavan Natha after giving up this body. So the benediction is there, we just have to take it, do it.
Just like just now you mentioned, like music. We can perceive the music
in two speaking senses. Speaking
in mind. We can perceive the music in two senses, like directly or by saying that how nice it is being played for Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So similarly during kirtans, how should we know? Like whether it's...
Kirtan, in kirtan we should be conscious that this is for the pleasure of the Lord. If we're not conscious of that, then that cannot be sankirtan, samyak or complete kirtan. Kirtan means fully full. Sankirtan means full kirtan. So it's full kirtan. Kirtan means glorification. So we should be aware that this is for the glorification of Krishna. If it's for our own musical pleasure, or, then it's not full kirtan. It should be for the pleasure of Krishna. Sometimes we see devotees, they turn their backs and they're dancing, going on, they're turning their back to the deity. But the kirtan is for his pleasure, not for our pleasure. We're enjoying kirtan so much that we forget all about the deity. And then it's not kirtan. Then it's in personal enjoyment. Is chanting Vishnu Sahasranam helpful to make progress in Krishna consciousness? Yes, it depends a lot again on the consciousness in which it's done. Chanting Hare Krishna mantra is Vishnu Sahasranam is included. But Vishnu Sahasranam, if we meditate on the meaning of the names, that also helps to remind us of the qualities of the Lord which are being described therein. So that's certainly helpful. Just like we are saying this now, Dashavati Nandana Brajala. If we think what is the meaning of this, it's certainly that helps us to become Krishna conscious. Krishna has so many names, and if we chant the name of Krishna, all names are included, but so many times we may chant the other names also, just to remind what are the wonderful qualities of Krishna. He is Srishta, He is Jishta, He is all the qualities, that is Krishna. Yes.
Consciousness.
So how to cultivate this Vaikuntha consciousness? Because when we see something, like when we see some nice prasadam, we think
I shall enjoy.
Yeah, it's very nice. We will get some nice prasadam.
Therefore, before taking prasad, we chant Sharira Vidya Jal Jala Indriyate Harikal Jive Kale Vishaya Sagara. There are so many prayers we can say. This, if we chant this, that this is not meant for my enjoyment, but this is meant for conquering over the spirit of enjoyment. You can chant, there are so many prayers, Mahaprasade Govinde. Persons of small piety, they cannot appreciate the transcendental nature of Mahaprasad. It's good to chant these prayers before taking prasad. This Uddhav, he says, you'll find there in Bhagavatam, that Charopabhukta Shraddhanta Vasalankara Chashitaha. Then, Uchishta Bhojino Dasa Tavad Maya Jayemahi. He says that, my dear Krishna, by utilizing, that which you have enjoyed, the garlands, the scent, the clothing, the ornaments, the food, we shall conquer over your maya. So chanting these helps us. And also, while we're taking, we can also consider that we're taking this prasad to nourish the body so that we can serve Krishna. So we should see how we're eating for service. Eating becomes a service, not instead of enjoyment. I shall enjoy. We can enjoy, but we should think how Krishna has enjoyed. He's Krishna Baradoyamoy Kari Vari Jiva Joy Shaprasha Anabulobha. He's very kindly given us this. Krishna, being very kind, has given us this prasad. It's very difficult because we can't imagine what it means to have any other consciousness except that of Ishvarahamaham Bhogi. I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. We have to turn that consciousness around. It's very important to hear this again and again. Otherwise, what happens then, we take Krishna consciousness as another kind of enjoyment. We like to hear nice stories, but it all becomes for our own pleasure. So we have to always remember that Krishna is the enjoyer. Is it? We're going to take prasadam now? Yes. Yeah, I'm allergic to eggplant and tomato. No, you can tell. I'm allergic to this, so you may offer respect with your hands folded and not honor it by directly ingesting it. That's acceptable. Because we're honoring the prasadam as a matter of service, to nourish the body for Krishna's service. So if the body gets sick by taking Krishna's mercy in a particular form, then we shouldn't take it in that form. Hare Krishna.